Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Probably is the same way for our guest this hour. Rich Salmon, ladies and gentlemen, is here. He's sitting in for Joan Pride, who's on assignment this week, as they say. And Rich is our good friend. He's one of the key editors there, the Kiplinger editors. Rich, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim. Glad to be with you.
It's good to have you back on the show. We've missed you.
Well, I miss you too. I miss all the small business trends that you point out.
I can see that. I can see how you'd miss us. Rich, let's get into the letter, and folks, what I want you to know is that we're going to talk about some of the things that Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world this week, this hour, but then in the very last segment, I've got something I want to say. I've got a poem I want to read. Some of you who've been listening to the show have heard the poem before, but I want to do it again, and then Rich and I are going to talk a little bit about our thoughts about 911, and that's going to be coming up at the end of the show. So don't think that we're disregarding anything. We're just going to do it in the last segment. Let's talk about the economy, Rich. Kiplinger says that it's upbeat for 2004.
I'll tell you, on a day of reflection, if we want to look forward here, at least in the beginning part of the show, after 2 years of sluggish or flat growth, we are predicting a upbeat forecast 2004. We're going to see faster growth and more continued low inflation. And that is even in light of a gloomy August jobs report, as we all know. 4% GDP gain next year.
Wow.
And that'll sort of mark the return to a steady expansion after flat years beforehand. We're going to see raising prices, though, will actually remain difficult for many firms, particularly manufacturers.
Well, that's the thing that there's good news and bad news. What you just gave us there was a little pat on the back and also a little bit of a slap in the face there, Rich, because we like the idea that the economy is going to grow at 4%. It's amazing that the economy could grow at 4% and still have low inflation. That's going to be interesting to see how we pull off that trick. But at the same time, one of the problems that we have, one part of the problem with profitability, especially for small businesses, is we have no pricing power. We can't raise our prices, even though a lot of our expenses are going up, and so what's happening is our profitability is getting squeezed, and so with all the good news that you guys are forecasting for 2004, that's one of the most troubling ones. But
yes.
But obviously, if you're holding inflation down, that necessarily means that prices are not going to be going up.
Exactly right, and there's competition from cheap imports especially in manufacturing. Now, if you think that that's kind of a negative news that prices will not be going up, consider that productivity will be. And so that's equally something to throw into the mix there. Looking at productivity gains, now it's about 2.5% a year on average. Productivity will climb about 7%. That's impressive. It means businesses are extracting additional output per hour of work.
I just hope that the Fed can now become a true believer in the productivity. You know, in the late 90s, Rich, the Fed refused to believe that the reason that we were doing so well, part of the reason we were doing so well was because we were actually being as productive and as efficient as we were. And so consequently, they said, you know, with all this productivity, that must mean that you know, we're going to be having inflation soon. So we're going to have to raise our interest rates. And they did. And they did it with a vengeance. I think it was in 99.
Right.
They did that, and so hopefully, it almost scares me a little bit, Rich, when folks like Kiplinger predict a 7% increase in productivity, because it actually makes me worry that maybe the Fed still doesn't get it, and that they're going to raise interest rates again.
Yeah, and think interest rates will raise, but very slightly, very moderately. However, someone's going to look for someone to blame, and they're going to blame the deficit, or they're going to blame productivity. So I understand your point. I wanted to mention, though, that profits will accelerate, probably to about 12% from 10% this year. And also, companies will begin to hire again, not at a galloping pace, but more than 1 million jobs will be added in 2004 after basically no gain this year.
And those will be good, solid jobs. Those will be jobs that have been placed in the right place. This won't be willy-nilly hiring. It'll be very judicious hiring, which I believe will be long-term, solid employment growth. But back to the issue of the profits, it seems like that if we're saying that prices can't go up and that we're having a problem with pricing power and therefore our profits are getting squeezed, how can profits go up? In the next sentence, we're saying that. Well, folks, the way that's going to happen is hopefully with a 4% growth in our gross national product, hopefully revenues will go up, volume will go up, and therefore we've worked hard over the last two or three years, Rich, to get our operations more efficient. And so if revenues go up, then we're going to drop more profit to the bottom line.
Absolutely. I mean, we'll see some price rises in some areas, healthcare, education, restaurants.
Well, those haven't stopped, Rich. Healthcare has been eating small business owners alive for the last 3 years.
Yeah, I can't understand how some companies can keep offering healthcare if it increases 15-20% a year. At some point, it has to break the back.
Well, that's what's happening to small business, but Ted Kennedy would say, and he has said that those small businesses that just get to the point where they can't afford healthcare for their employees because of these increases, you know what he calls those companies?
Bottom feeders. What does he call
them? Bottom feeders.
Oh gosh,
that's his term for those companies.
It's the employment engine of the country.
That's right. But he considers us to be bottom feeders, those of us who can't provide health care. Because of these, as you say, we've had double-digit increases in health care for 4 years running now.
Absolutely, yeah. Interest rates, you mentioned, Jim, stay relatively low. 10-year rates will be at about 5.5% by late next year. Federal Reserve probably won't start boosting rates at the short end until late 2004.
I think you're right on the money there.
Okay, yeah.
And I know that Kipling was really worrying, anxious over whether I would agree with him on that, Rich. But I do think you're right about that. I think they'd be crazy to not let the engine run a little bit, let it get a little bit of steam before they pull it back. Quick break, right back with Rich Salmon after these messages. It's 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes every week by email. And I'm going to be traveling in the week ahead, so it might come a little bit early this week. I'm probably going to send it on Saturday instead of Sunday this week just because of travel. And I'm going to be in Washington, D.C. Rich, I'll be in your offices on Monday. I'm going to be broadcasting from your offices right there in the Kiplinger building on Monday, Rich, because this month is the 80th anniversary of the Kiplinger Washington editor letter, isn't it?
That's exactly right. Yeah, this is the 80th anniversary. We look forward to having you in the building. We have a nice office set up for you, new carpet.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I'll try not to soil the carpet while I'm there. But also, it's Mr. Kiplinger, Austin Kiplinger, the son of the founder, 85 years old. He's going to be this week, actually. I think it's next Friday. He's going to be 85 years old. And this is going to be my third time to interview him on or near his birthday. Rich, I don't know if you knew that or not.
I did not. Yeah.
I interviewed him on his 80th birthday and then on his 84th birthday and now this year again. So he's going to be there, and I'm looking forward to that. I'll be talking to Knight Kiplinger, and who's the grandson of the founder and who runs the shop now, and who's your boss, Rich, and also Joan Pride will be here. We got another guest that will be with us in that time. on that day. So we're going to be doing it's all Kiplinger all day on Monday, folks. And so I'm looking forward to that. And then I'll tell you about the rest of the week a little bit later on. We got a lot of stuff going on all the rest of next week as I spend the whole week in Washington, D.C., getting ready for the small business activities at the SBA toward the end of the week. Rich, let's move over and talk on page two. Now that you've filled us in on the economy and you've made us feel really good about knowing that the profits are up from 10 to 12% next year and that we're going to grow by 4% next year, that's just really stunning. And I think you're right about that. Again, like I said about the interest rates, I think you guys are right about that. And it's exciting to me to see us come out of all this. And I think 2004 is really going to be a good year. But let's talk about another issue, Rich. Let's talk about some new laws and regulations that are going to help stop ID theft. Identity theft is becoming a real problem, isn't it?
It is, and it's not going to become less so over time. As we become more and more computerized, there's more and more ways to get personal information. And your listeners, as small business operators, managers, and owners, need to know about some of these regulations that are coming down the pike. At federal level, regulations likely taking effect in the spring would require banks and other financial institutions that are covered by the FDIC to inform customers of any computer security problems that arise.
Like a breach, like a hacking, like somebody hacks in or something?
Right. So you'd actually have to let your customers know that your system has been breached, especially if there's customer information and on databases, things like that. Also, many trends start in California. There's a state law there that requires companies that accept credit cards from customers to notify them of any breaches in database security. If they don't, you can be sued. And so look for that trend to continue, and it'll, others will adopt the same measures, including probably Congress in a couple of years. So if you accept credit cards and you have a problem in your system, you're going to have to find a way to notify the customers.
Right. Now, with my system, we farm that out. We go through VeriSign.
Use
VeriSign.
Sure.
So their whole system, I actually don't, whenever people do business with us, when they buy my book on our website, we have an e-commerce component, but we farm that out to a company. So small business owners, that's the right way to do it, is to have a company like VeriSign, which has all the security measures. They not only have them, but they keep them up to date, and people like that who offer those kinds of services do a good job of that. But I'll tell you, Rich, this identity theft thing is really a serious issue. I wish I could remember the number, but the number of people whose identities have been stolen in the last year or two, I saw it the other day, and it was in the hundreds of thousands. It blew me away.
Yeah, and it can take a while to fix your credit.
Years. I've talked to people who said it takes years for them to get it fixed.
Right, and that affects the way that you might buy a new house. So it's it really does have a ripple effect. Go ahead.
Unfortunately, it's one of the things that causes some people to be concerned about doing business online, to engage in e-commerce, because they're reluctant to give their credit card out over the over the airwaves, so to speak. But the thing about it is every time you go to a restaurant, you give a waiter your credit card, you don't know where that receipt's going to go.
You really don't,
So you
mentioned online sales, and it's our forecast that retail sales on the internet are soaring. So even at the same time that you have problems with identity, that sales on the internet will account for 5% of total retail activity next year. That's double the share from 2001.
Right, absolutely. Well, and the thing is that that's going to track right along with the growth in broadband connectivity, which is something that we've talked about on the show before. When Joan has been here, Rich, when we talked to Joan about what Kiplinger has to say about that, and that's when we come back, I want to talk about that a little bit. We'll talk about how the growth in retail is tracking right along with the growth in broadband connectivity, and there's some new products out, folks, that we're going to talk about that you're going to be interested in as we head into the holidays. 29 after, stay with me. We'll be right back. Joe Cocker will take us out.
Now back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted this year's Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. Rich Salmon is our guest. Rich is editor with the Kiplinger Editors and a good friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. And folks, I encourage you to check out their website, which is Kiplinger.com. And they've been around for 80 years, folks. You don't stay around that long if you're not doing something right. I was reading their letter many, many years ago in print. Now it comes two ways, in print and electronically. I get it both ways. I can't get enough of it. And that's just the weekly letter that's got its 80th, it's enjoying its 80th anniversary right now. And that comes every week by those two methods I mentioned. And also, you can go and get it online at their website, Kiplinger.com. You can read it there if you're a subscriber. And I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to check out their subscriptions. Also, besides their weekly letter, the weekly Washington letter, they also have three biweekly letters, the California letter, the tax letter, and the agriculture letter. And then, Rich, you guys also have a magazine, too, don't you?
Yes, Kiplinger Personal Finance. Essentially, what we do is we tell you what's going to happen before it happens.
Yeah, exactly. And they do a pretty darn good job of that, too, folks. And most of the time, I agree with what they're having to say. But sometimes we disagree. And that's when it really is the most fun, Rich, when I disagree with you guys, especially when Joan's here, because she's so much fun to needle. But
yeah.
Let's get back into the by the way, have you got a phone number? You got the phone number handy, Rich, for the subscription?
Yes, I do. Subscriptions can be found at 1-800-544-0155.
And they've got a 30-day free trial, folks, that they'll offer you. So take advantage of that and make sure it's what you want before you lay your money down. And they're good folks. They'll take care of you. Let's get back into the retail thing, Rich. I want to talk about the connection between the growth of Internet sales and broadband. About a year and a half ago, 2 years, maybe about a year and a half, I guess, another Brain Trust member, Steve Del Bianco, reported on this show that that the number of households that had broadband connectivity, either DSL or cable modem, was only about 12%. And that was a really low number, especially considering all the fiber optics that's been laid across this country. Well, about 6-8 months ago, I think, Kiplinger forecast that number was going to grow, I think, by next year to 48% of households.
It's a industry that you cannot restrain. It's definitely going to expand in a galloping way. And so it's also going to lead to a lot more online purchasing. And yes, you're right in that it'll probably be in more populous metropolitan areas first. But over time, just like the telephone system,
yep.
Everyone has a telephone now. But when it started, you had to go into the city to make a call.
Well, and the reason, though, that sales are going to increase online because of that is because you get the images on your browser up much quicker, and you can shop quicker. You can go online quickly and in 5 minutes find the website you want, pick out the item you want. And again, it doesn't mean that you have to. I want to remind people, those of you who maybe don't have the capability that I'm talking about, e-business is not just e-commerce. E-commerce is when people pay you money for your goods online. E-business includes e-shopping. So don't miss out on the opportunity to let your customers shop with you online and then come into the store, into your storefront, and buy from you in person. That's happening more and more, and the broadband connectivity, Rich, is helping that too.
It's a lot of good cross-fertilization of building client base. The hottest selling items, Jim, health and beauty products, clothing, jewelry, sporting goods, gifts, flowers, food and items, and home and garden things.
Things that can be delivered easily. Let's talk about some of these things. There's some new products that are out that are going to be available for the holidays. And one of them, the first one that you guys identified this week, is pretty interesting. Tell us about it.
Yeah, these are apparel or shirts and slacks that actually repel bugs. And so sort of in the synthetic fibers, if you will, there are treatments that very quietly and slowly and incrementally are released that will please the outdoors crowd and just to repel insects. And you would think, okay, well, what if you put it in the washing machine? Is that going to be the end of it? Well, not really. It's sort of, it's almost in the synthetic fiber itself.
Yeah.
A very slow, slow release process.
Well, and you know, I heard that women are looking for, they're encouraging the manufacturers to develop a nerd and a geek repellent.
Yes, it's also, yeah, and you can wear these bug repellent shirts when your in-laws are over, too.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's talk about something. What are the shirts and sweaters made from bamboo?
From bamboo.
What's that all about?
Yeah, you'd think, is this going to look like it's from Hawaii Five-0 or something like that? No, but they're actually very nice shirts, yeah, antimicrobial.
Cooler than linen, too, folks, Kiplinger says. We'll come back, we got a couple more of these, then we're going to talk about the war on terror. 22, stay with us. We'll be right back with Rich Salmon. We're back at 17-2. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. I want to remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, Ray Keating and Richard DeKayser are going to join us. We're going to have our federal open market, our FedWatch show, I should say. The Fed is meeting next Tuesday. I will be in Washington, so I won't be able to do the FedWatch show, and so we're going to do it tomorrow. And then after that, we're going to be visiting with Maria Erickson and Melanie Sablehouse. Melanie is the Deputy Administrator of the SBA, and she's going to join us to tell us about big doings going on next week in Washington, D.C., where I will be as well. Rich Salmon is our guest. He's with Kiplinger, and we're talking about the Kiplinger editor, the Kiplinger letter, I should say, that they publish on Fridays, and that's available to you. Wash and wear wool suits, Rich. That's another thing you guys reported.
Incredible, yeah. These can be machine washed and air dried, so you have a nice business suit, and it's going to look perfect. And
wow.
You throw it right in the washing machine. There's no need for ironing.
How did the dry cleaning lobby let that get by? I don't understand that.
They're having a special emergency conference meeting about that. But anyway,
that's
technology.
And ladies, they've got beverages that work as skincare.
That's right. So your skin can look better just by the beverages that you drink. There's things like tea mixes and mineral-laced sodas.
See, I can't wait to get that because I need a little help with my skin, Rich.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, I need to perk up my skin a little bit, so maybe that'll be good for me. So we'll
see
how that goes. Let's move over to a totally different topic, the war on terror. How are we doing? How are we doing against the war on terror, Rich?
You can have a lot of different experts on terrorism. They'll give you some different ideas. It's our opinion, our judgment, that the U.S. has taken a big bite out of al-Qaeda since 9/11. Now, certainly there's a lot to be concerned about, but consider that much of the terrorist group's leadership is dead behind bars, or that they're more concerned right now about their own survival and with mounting new attacks. Osama bin Laden is still at large. That's right. We've seen the new tape. But his wings have really been clipped, in our opinion.
He's wandering around in the mountains.
Yeah.
That didn't look very formidable to me when I saw that. Did it?
And so a lot of the communications have been disrupted, and to the point that his capture would actually be more symbolic than strategic.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not sure it would benefit us to capture him. You know what I mean? The martyr element of that.
That it would stir the embers too much. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not sure we shouldn't just let him starve to death in the mountains up there. But anyway, and we do seem to be winning the war on terrorism because things are settled out in our country, but not in other countries. They're still attacking other countries. And, you know, I think this is interesting to me, Rich, when the Islamists, who are basically the primary members of the terrorist groups, are the Islamists, the people who believe in fundamental radical Islam, they're attacking Islam countries. That makes no sense to me.
It's a lot of it is sort of counterintuitive. Yeah, that's right. And there's lower level al-Qaeda operatives that they're hard to track. But then I go back to what we said earlier. Their communication is kind of disrupted. And right now, they're sort of hunkering down. That's the thought, that they're just more concerned about their survival than with really planning complicated attacks right now.
Right.
Not saying that we're out in the free now. It's going to take a couple decades. In fact, I think it'll take a whole generation. To really clean up the mess.
I think you're right. I'm glad to hear you say that because that's what I've been saying. I've been saying that we've got to look at this war on terror and the and the establishment of some kind of self-determination in the Middle East, especially in Iraq, we've got to look at it generationally, don't we? Not in terms of this month or this year.
It's like the Cold War.
That's exactly right. Exactly. Let's move over to top of page four and talk about taxes.
Okay.
Good news for owners of small businesses, especially if they're incorporated. The IRS has some good news for us. What is that?
Yeah, for small incorporated businesses, the new tax law makes converting to an S-firm a bit more attractive. It establishes a 35% top tax rate for both companies and individuals. The reason that's important is because under prior law, the maximum rate for individuals is set at 38.6. S-corporations are at something of a disadvantage, so business
right.
owners in the top bracket didn't want to switch because they knew they'd pay more.
Absolutely. So many millions of business, small business owners out there are S-corporations, and so this is good news for them, no question about it. Let's move down.
Something to keep in mind just very quickly, Jim, that small business owners, you do face more scrutiny from the IRS, so these internal reviews and audits of small business owners are probably going to be increasing in the next year or two because
especially,
the IRS figures they let too much go by.
Especially the wealthier ones, I think, are the ones that are going to be getting hit by that. Which makes me heave a sigh of relief too, Rich, because I don't consider myself to be in that group. Let's talk about trade. We got about a minute and a half or so here before we go to a break. Let's talk about trade. The prospects of success for liberalizing world trade are improving, and that's good news, isn't it?
That's right. We're going to have trade ministers meeting this week and next week in Cancun, and an agreement last month to prevent the re-exportation of low-cost drugs from poor countries to the U.S. Is a plus. And we're also looking at a comprehensive deal on it, probably not till 2006, but it's a good sign. It means that you have these countries really trying to figure out a way to prevent something that would hurt the U.S. with all the exportation of fake drugs and things like that.
This is another thing, Rich, that we've got to think of generationally, and that is world trade. Frederick Bastiat said this best over 150 years ago. He said, when goods cross borders, armies don't.
Yep, there you go.
And so trade is good, folks. It's good for civilization. It's good for humanity. It's good for liberty. It's good for the freedoms of people all over the world. And the freer people are, the less afraid they are, and the less afraid people are, they're less tolerant. The more tolerant they are, and the more tolerant people are, I think, the more peaceful they will be. When we come back after these messages, a poem. I want to read a poem to you that I wrote 2 years ago this week. And then Rich and I are going to reflect on what was going on 2 years ago, September the 11th, 2001. I just keep shaking my head. The images are burned into my brain. The impacts, the fires, the destruction. I want to wake up from this nightmare. I just keep shaking my head. Who would do this? Why would anyone do this? How could any human being do this? I just keep shaking my head. 4 airplanes gone. So many buildings destroyed. 1 rural meadow scarred. I just keep shaking my head. Hundreds, no thousands of innocent lives taken. Thousands, no tens of thousands of families grieving. Millions, no billions of civilized humans disbelieving. I just keep shaking my head. So much love denied. So many friendships abbreviated. So many spirits lost to another dimension. I just keep shaking my head. Years of productivity gone. A world of promise stolen. A wealth of contribution eliminated. I just keep shaking my head. Survivors' faces in pain and anguish. Loved ones' hearts broken. The toll incalculable. I just keep shaking my head. A few evil people. Thousands of innocent victims. Why is evil easier to leverage than good? I just keep shaking my head. The irony is palpable. Evildoers with blood on their hands. Courageous recovery workers with blood on their hands. I just keep shaking my head. Why is there despair simultaneous with hope? How could there be loathing concurrent with admiration? How can this be? I just keep shaking my head. I seek the blessing in all of this, but my vision is blurred by anger and frustration. Alas, the blessing is elusive. I just keep shaking my head. At last I witness hopefulness and unity. I see selflessness and courage. Now we unite behind a purpose. I begin raising my head. Here there is love being shown. There we see hope springing forth. Yonder there are demonstrations of leadership. I raise my head further. America is strong. Americans have strong spirits. We summon the resolve for which we are known. We demonstrate the courage for which we've been blessed. I hold my head high. I have faith in myself. I have confidence in our people. We have been here before. God be with us. God bless America. Thank you for allowing me to put those thoughts out there, folks. That's a poem that I wrote 2 years ago, a couple of days after we were attacked. Rich Salmon is our guest. Rich, at this moment 2 years ago, I was broadcasting my show at the time, approximately at this moment, the North Tower, the World Trade Center, was hit by an airplane commandeered by Islamist radical terrorists. And I didn't know that because it just happened. I got off the air. I stepped outside my office to go somewhere, turned on the car. The radio came on and said, a plane has just crashed into a building in New York City. I went back inside. I turned the television on, sat down just in time to see the second plane crash into the South Tower.
Yeah, it's quite a searing memory that certainly never leave. I loved your poem. That was beautiful to read. I think 2 years afterwards, we are reminded of the strong fundamentals of our personal fortitude and our national fortitude. We are a very strong country. I like the way that you ended that. And we don't need to be reminded of that like we have been, but it does serve a purpose in a grim way.
Everything that happens, it seems to me, has some kind of a resulting benefit, a resulting blessing. And as hard as it may be to understand, we have received some blessings from what happened. And one of the things that we did, one of the blessings, I think, is that Americans were able to remind themselves of how much we love what we have, this liberty that we have, and how much we're willing to fight to preserve it, and how strong we really are, and how much, as we differ on many issues, we basically are one people, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Makes us think about the father of the country with George Washington and the stirring speech that he gave to the troops at Valley Forge when all the chips were down. Did I find new meaning in some of these speeches after the events of 9/11?
Absolutely. Rich Salmon, thank you for being here. Good job today. We really appreciate you, and we'll see you next time.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, Rich. Rich Salmon, ladies and gentlemen, with Kiplinger Editors. He'll be back. I'm going to leave you with this last comment, folks. I raise my head further. America is strong. Americans have strong spirits. We summon the resolve for which we are known. We demonstrate the courage for which we've been blessed. I hold my head high. I have faith in myself. I have confidence in our people. We've been here before. God be with us. God bless America.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.